Dirk Gently's Holistic Detective Agency by Douglas Adams. Read by Stephen Mangan. Chapter 1. This time, there would be no witnesses. This time there was just the dead earth, a rumble of thunder, and the onset of that interminable light drizzle from the northeast, by which so many of the world's most momentous events seem to be accompanied. The storms of the day before, and of the day before that, and the floods of the previous week had now abated. The sky still bulged with rain, but all that actually fell in the gathering evening gloom was a dreary kind of prickle. Some wind whipped across the darkening plain, blundered through the low hills, and gusted across a shallow valley where stood a structure, a kind of tower, alone in a nightmare of mud, and leaning. It was a blackened stump of a tower. It stood like an extrusion of magma from one of the more pestilential pits of hell, and it leaned at a peculiar angle, as if oppressed by something altogether more terrible than its own considerable weight. It seemed a dead thing, long ages dead. The only movement was that of a river of mud that moved sluggishly along the bottom of the valley past the tower. A mile or so further on, the river ran down a ravine and disappeared underground. But as the evening darkened, it became apparent that the tower was not entirely without life. There was a single dim red light guttering deep within it. The light was only just visible, except, of course, that there was no one to see, no witnesses, not this time. But it was nevertheless a light. Every few minutes it grew a little stronger and a little brighter, and then faded slowly away almost to nothing. At the same time, a low keening noise drifted out on the wind, built up to a kind of wailing climax, and then it too faded abjectly away. Time passed. And then another light appeared, a smaller, mobile light. It emerged at ground level and moved in a single bobbing circuit of the tower, pausing occasionally on its way around. Then it, and the shadowy figure that could just be discerned carrying it, disappeared inside once more. An hour passed, and by the end of it the darkness was total. The world seemed dead, the night a blankness. And then the glow appeared again, near the tower's peak, this time growing in power more purposefully. It quickly reached the peak of brightness it had previously attained, and then kept going, increasing, increasing. The keening sound that accompanied it rose in pitch and stridency until it became a wailing scream. The scream screamed on and on, till it became a blinding noise and the light a deafening redness. And then, abruptly, both ceased. There was a millisecond of silent darkness. An astonishing pale new light billowed and bulged from deep within the mud beneath the tower. The sky clenched, a mountain of mud convulsed, earth and sky bellowed at each other, there was a horrible pinkness, a sudden greenness, a lingering orangeness that stained the clouds, and then the light sank, and the night at last was deeply, hideously dark. There was no further sound other than the soft tinkle of water. But in the morning, the sun rose with an unaccustomed sparkle. On a day that was, or seemed to be, or at least would have seemed to be, if there had been anybody there to whom it could seem to be anything at all, warmer, clearer, and brighter, an altogether livelier day than any yet known. A clear river ran through the shattered remains of the valley, and time began seriously to pass. Chapter 2. High on a rocky promontory sat an electric monk on a bored horse. From under its rough woven cowl, the monk gazed unblinkingly down into another valley, with which it was having a problem. The day was hot. The sun stood in an empty, hazy sky and beat down upon the grey rocks and the scrubby, parched grass. Nothing moved, not even the monk. The horse's tail moved a little, swishing slightly to try and move a little air, but that was all. Otherwise, nothing moved.